Well, this is going to be a little different than last time. Last time you had a young man preacher, I heard he ended up getting engaged. I have neither a girlfriend or a ring, so that will not be happening. I was at college. I was back on break for Thanksgiving, and I was here, and I was here for a Sunday night, and a pastor asked me if I wanted to preach. I was like, sure. And he asked, what's Sunday? I was like, so this Sunday. I found out that was the Sunday after my final exams. I was like, oh. If any of you guys have been to college, final exams are not fun. Or are they short in the time that you need to study for them? So I was worrying a lot that week. Oh, no. What are my grades going to be? Am I going to study enough for my final exams? Am I going to have a sermon prepared? My phone ended up breaking, so I'm worried about my phone. I'm worried about how I'm going to get home for Christmas, if I'm going to have enough money to put gas, and I just worried, and worried. And today in society, there's a lot of worrying going on, especially now with the shootings. I did not write the sermon prior to the shootings, but it kind of fits in. I had the privilege of taking an Old Testament survey this year at college. It's just a brief overview of the Old Testament. And as I was worrying, I thought of, what are some biblical examples of a man that just worried? He had a lot to worry about. And my mind went straight to the book of Job. Job had a rough life. And we're going to look into Job today. We're going to examine a short span of the life of Job. We're not going to look at the whole book because that would take far too long. The book of Job is 42 chapters. And I can talk about every single book in that, or every single chapter in that book, but I don't think you guys want to be here that long. So we're just going to take a short look at the life of Job. If you have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 1. Now the book of Job, a lot of Hebrew historians believe that was actually the first book written in the Bible. It takes place somewhere between Genesis 9 and 12, prior to Abraham. Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." We see here Job had several characteristics. First, we see he had wealth. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 pair of oxen, 500 donkeys. He was labeled as the greatest of all the men of the East. He was a modern-day multimillionaire. He was like the Bill Gates of that time. We see also his character. Job was a man that feared God. Fear, in the Hebrew here, I did not take Hebrew, I took Greek, a little bit of Greek, but thanks to my strongest, I know a little bit about this word fear. Fear does not mean to be afraid like the modern day word fear means. Fear in a sense is a sense that it's not in the sense that I'm deathly afraid of washing dishes. I've never washed dishes in my life, nor will I. Okay, I can't say that. One day I might one day, but I have not thus far in my life. This word fear here means a moral reverence for the sovereignty of an almighty God. And Job had that fear. We need a fear of God, one like Job had. Fear builds Christian character and knowledge. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. Now, Solomon knew a lot about wisdom and knowledge. He wrote Proverbs. And here he tells us, the fear of the Lord, like Job had, is the beginning of knowledge. Job was also a man that eschewed evil. He hated evil. This phrase means that he had an absolute hatred for that which was sin. You know what our nation lacks as a whole? and today in society? Character. Our nation, Christians included, do not fear God the way they should and are often entangled, intertwined in sin. We as Christians are sleeping in the bed of the world. The world says sin is a blunder. The Bible says sin is spiritual blindness. The world declares sin as a chance. The Bible says sin is a choice. The world says sin is a weakness. The Bible declares sin is wickedness. We are lacking character. We are lacking a correct view of sin. And if we are ever to have character like this man, we must eschew evil like he did. We need to hate sin like God hates sin. He hates sin so much that he came and be near sin. That's why no sin's allowed in heaven. Are we like that? Do we hang around sin all the time? Or do we separate ourselves from sin? Whether it be sinful friends? If we are ever to have a cry, it should be, Lord, give me character. I fear you and hate evil. We see his calamities also, his misfortunes. In verses 14 and 15 it says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. His servant comes to him and tells him that while his cattle are out grazing, or plowing the fields, and the donkeys were feeding, when some tribespeople, that's who the Sabians were, they were tribespeople, nomadic tribespeople, came down and killed them and killed the servants. Then we look in verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Here, the last servant was still speaking to Job. When all of a sudden, here comes another servant. The servant tells him that not only has he lost his cattle, he's also lost his sheep because they were burned up. They were incinerated. They're no more. At this point, Job must be thinking, well, this must just be my lucky day. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. But Job is not over. If you look in verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, and I carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Here yet another servant comes up to Job and says that a different tribe has stolen his camels and killed his servants that were guarding them. This is a pretty bad day it's shaping out to be for Job. And in verse 18 and 19, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy son and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And lastly, the servants come to Job and say, Job, your sons and daughters were having dinner at your oldest son's house. And along came this strong wind, and the house collapsed. And Job, all your kids are dead. Now, I don't have any kids yet. I'm not married yet, so I'd hope not. But I can't even imagine what it would be like to lose a child. I know the shooting in Connecticut, there's a lot of parents who have lost children. Job lost all his children. God lost his child. He sent Jesus down and he died. God knows exactly what we're going through if we lose a child. And God knows exactly what those parents are going through in Connecticut. Not only did he lose his kids, but we see in verse 5 of chapter 2, put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone, and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of God, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Here Satan's talking to God. He's like, all right, I've touched everyone around Job. I've touched his materials. I've touched his family, the ones he loved. And he didn't curse you. Let me touch Job. And God said, okay, you can touch Job, but don't kill him. Satan did not let up. He went to God and asked him if he could touch him physically. So Satan covered Job in boils from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. And Job still did not curse God. And Satan, being the roaring lion he is, continues his attacks, often like he does to us. In verse 9 he said, the Bible says, Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. I can't imagine that. Job's wife turns to him. Job, all this has happened to you. Why don't you just curse God and die? His wife says, Why do you maintain your innocence? God doesn't love you. He isn't with you. Curse him and die. After everything that had happened to him, he was left by his own wife. Within a very short period of time, Job lost 7,000 sheep, 300 camel, 500 pair of oxen, 500 donkeys, 7 sons, 3 daughters, many, many servants, and his wife left him. His body was covered in boils. He lost everything. Just because you have character doesn't mean you will be exempt from the hardships of life. Calamities, struggles, disasters, don't care who the person is that they are affecting, they will happen in your life. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. As Christians, we should expect trials to happen in our lives. And yet, third, I'd like to show you Job's conduct, even after all this has happened. Job chapter 1, verse 20 through 22 says, Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now I want everyone to look up here, because this is good stuff. When this man had lost everything, he was low, he had nothing. He fell on his face and cried out, The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In essence, Job was saying that God is God. Come what may, God is and always will be the same God. God is always in control. Often we forget that. God is always in control. And Christian, you better believe the same God then, during Job's trials, is the same God now during our trials. Lastly, I'd like to show you Job's reward for being faithful. Job chapter 42, verses 12 and 13. This is the end of the book of Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Because Job was faithful in his trust in God through the toughest times, God doubled his livestock, gave him a wife, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. Isn't that good stuff? Though Job lost everything, God gave him that and more, just because he was faithful. When you can't trace the hand of God, trust the heart of God. That was quoted by Charles Spurgeon. When you don't know where God's leading you, just trust that he means the best. We know that from Romans 8:28. I hear that a lot. I took a class called Intro to Biblical Counseling. And that was probably the most used verse. And I use it the most when I counsel people. Because so many things come into our lives where we don't know why they happen. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good, that them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." If you are saved, if you're born again, you better bet God has a great plan for your life. And there's going to be trials along the way. But it's all to make you into the person God wants you to be. For those who are here that may not know God, you may not know Jesus as your personal Savior. Psalm 55:12 says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." As everyday Christians, we need to throw our burdens upon the Lord. He demands that we do this. Don't deal with your own burdens. Give them to God. And if you're here and you're unsaved, you have the ultimate burden that you need to cast on God. He sent Jesus to die for your sins, to pay your sin debt. Cast that upon Jesus. No matter how bad your life is, Christian, no matter how bad your trial or your burden, let God take it and help you through. Have faith in God who gave strength to Job and blessed him. After all, if you were born again Christian, he has already shown you his ability to take away burdens. Remember that time when you realized you were a sinner, destined for hell, and you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, and God took the burden of sin off your shoulders? I know I do. And isn't it good to know that if you have a burden, God hasn't changed? He'll still take it? Maybe you're here today and you say, "I don't know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know why I'm going to heaven." Maybe you just are unsure about the whole picture. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says, "Unless a man be born again, he will never see the kingdom of God." Being baptized, being a Methodist, being a Baptist, a good person, someone who tithes, memorizes scriptures, will not get you into heaven. You must be born again and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is the only way. Through this whole process, I had a hymn stuck in my mind. I heard it actually during a sermon. I listen to sermons often while I'm at college. And it goes, "Sometimes on the mountain, when the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkness of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. When trouble strikes, when burdens are heavy, when temptation is calling, if hell is awaiting, God can take it all." Christians, be strong of character like Job, and have faith in God who is sovereign over all. God gives and God takes away. Blessed be God. Are you trying to handle life's matters by yourself? God said, "No, cast your burdens upon me." What are you doing? Are you trying to handle the hardships of life, whether it's cancer, debts, sickness, financial problems, trials in your life that God knows you're going through? He's letting you go through this for a reason. Don't do it on your own. Give it to God. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. So what are you doing, Christian? Is there a worry? Is there a doubt in your life that you're just struggling with? Don't go through it alone. You don't have to. God's asking you to give it to him. Pastor?